A little legend in the UK, we move to an acting legend over in the States, a man who's actually appeared in Enterprise, Frasier, Sabrina, Sybil, All American Girl, Dream On, and of course, Chloe, one of your own personal favourites, Sabrina, I believe. Mm. Yes, he's now one of the, in fact, a resident actor with the wonderful company A Noise Within, the only year-round classical repertory company in Southern California. We say a hearty welcome to the amazingly talented Rob Dean. How are you, Rob?
How you doing?
Good, great stuff. What's the weather like in Los Angeles at present? I mean, you know, we haven't had a Los Angeles link as yet, and Phil Leonis, one of our ace directors, doesn't come up for another 20 minutes or so. So is it okay? Is it snowing there? Is it frosty?
It never snows, and it's very beautiful now. We did have an uncharacteristic hot spell, which made people very cross for a few weeks, actually. But it broke 2 days ago with a thunderstorm, which you rarely see here. So everyone's in a wonderful mood. It's as beautiful and balmy and breezy as California gets.
Well, there we are. Splendid stuff on that whole side of things, etc. Motoring on, we've also got to say that you are Sir Ralph Bloomfield Bonington, a Barnon.
BB. Let's just call him BB.
Okay, that's a nice sort of quaint approach on the whole thing, BB. So this is in The Doctor's Dilemma. It's a classic tale from that point of view, the compelling and profoundly engaging fusion of comedy, tragedy and romance that defies categorisation. For a moment, actually, Rob, I thought you were describing this show, The Midweek Drive. But no, you know, it's The Doctor's Dilemma, set in 1906. An egotistical surgeon, who's delivered a new TB inoculation and must decide who should be saved. A kindly colleague who serves the poor, or an extremely talented but unscrupulous young artist with a beautiful and alluring young wife whom the doctor allows to cloud his moral judgment. Again, still has a resonance, even in the 21st century. So it looks as though it's a classic. Are you looking forward to this going on? And is it one of those things where you thought, yes, this is what I did my professional acting for. This is what it's all about.
That's what I thought when I read it. I thought, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful comedy. Let's get on with it. How fantastic. And now it's not a comedy. I mean, it has many, many laughs, but I see it so much more deeply. It is exactly what I came into the business for, actually, to be surprised and challenged. I don't play the central doctor. I play Bibi, who is the physician to the royal family, and who is just basically full of rubbish about virtually everything he says. And the doctor in question, who falls in love with the dying genius's wife, makes sure the dying genius is given to me so that I will kill him, because I'm so incompetent and so famous. And so, you know, it looks like he's doing everyone a favor, but he knows perfectly well I cannot cure this boy, who is essentially Rembrandt. So what happens is my wonderful speeches where I get lost and don't care in the first and second acts and third acts devolve into me being the attending physician at the death of a great artist who's 23 years old with his loving wife in attendance. I'm the one in a very impoverished place where I'm sure I've never been anywhere like that before. There I am. And Shaw has, you know, it's funny, Shaw has stage directions, which oftentimes actors have to ignore, but we ignore them at our peril, because he kept saying, BB bursts into tears, BB is overcome, BB in the fourth act, and it seemed like it was for laughs, you know, it's not.
And as you mentioned with the great GBS, of course, a phrase that I oftentimes use, which is those whom the gods would destroy, they first say they have potential. And obviously the classic, by George, she's got it. So often I've had the sort of Pygmalion routine, I say, the rain in Spain falls mainly in the rain. You should have heard Katie Grimison do the Birmingham version of that. It was astounding, you know, all sorts of ways. It was genius. But he still has this remnants, and obviously still speaks to us in the 21st century from the 20th, which is what good art should do, let's be honest. I'm going to open it up.
Anything that is unexpected, if you don't know The Doctor's Dilemma, it is not a play you've seen before. Almost all plays are basically plays you've seen before. This is not. This runs in directions you do not expect, And even having read it and knowing what it was, it went in a direction I didn't expect afterwards when I rehearsed it, which involved quite a few changes mid-rehearsal, quite a few complete reevaluations. It's extremely unusual.
This sounds as though
I've been doing this for so many years. I know what to play. I know what's going on.
I would fully anticipate you do, Rob. It does sound, though, as though it should be something we should be angling for Phil Leonis in the Chilpack Hollywood Hour and Dean Haglund's to make the official live event of the week. So if Phil's listening, and I'm sure he is, because he always provides director's notes at the end of the show, I think we should send him all those, one of our official LA correspondents. But I can tell Chloe is bursting now to actually find out just exactly what role you played in which series, Chloe?
Sabrina.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
It was not... I was just there. You know something? I'm going to be perfectly honest. I was on the show one time, and I have absolutely no memory of what I played.
That's good enough for Chloe.
I've done so many of those things.
The voice of Salem or something like that.
He could have been the voice of Salem, but no. He's in the one show.
No, it was a one-off, and I don't know. I mean, I've done 50 of them, you know, but various shows, and some I remember and some I don't. I remember the movies I do because they take much longer, but the TV shows are almost always, except for 24 or something like that, I was on for half a year. Basically, I don't recall. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And, of course, isn't that ironic that you're doing half a year on 24, which is obviously, you know, almost 160 hours, 160 times 24. It's amazing, you know, that whole setup, etc. Clearly, one of our other...
God.
You see, doing a little bit of mathematics always works well, I find, really, in terms of the math scenario. We have to mention, obviously, 7 years, I believe, on The Young and the Restless, a show which, tragically, has not really translated to the British Isles, but is really...
I shouldn't say that.
The producers are listening, Ned. They might be bringing back your character. They might be doing all sorts of things.
They're not listening. Let's just talk. Can we dish about it? I was never a contracts player. Get this. I played the director of a homeless shelter, and all these incredibly rich people eventually wound up in the homeless shelter where I said this, of some version of this. Well, we're so glad you're here. And we never interfere with people's personal lives. But tell me, why did you, you know, screw so-and-so? You know, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
But it went on for 7 years.
You see, I mean, I can tell, actually, Rob, that is the sort of line that even George Bernard Shaw would say, if only I'd actually included that line in Chocolate, in the Pygmalion, you know. Why did you screw that flower set? No, let's not go there.
It's clear that he's just not really, you know, a modern man.
Well, there we are. Let's open it up. Ed, any questions for Rob?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Great to hear everything you're saying. Where's the real magic for you? Is it stage or is it screen?
You know, it's a very, very interesting question. I always thought I was a stage actor. I went, that's what I did for many years in New York. Came out to L.A. for personal reasons, started acting here, became a mainstay of this wonderful, wonderful, very, very successful repertory company called A Noise Within, which does classical work, and I'm happy. I love it, and that's what makes me tick ever since I was young. However, once I got myself in front of a feature movie camera, suddenly I realized, it's an entirely different thing for some reason. I mean, some very gifted people, it's the same thing. They just are there, you know. But for myself, it was a bit of a challenge, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I love just being able to think and express myself, which is just all in the eyes. I mean, on a close-on shot, you know, it's just I mean, you know, it's just a cliche, but it's true. You just think it, and then the camera catches it. And it's a very beautiful experience. I love it. I've only done, like, 7 feature films, and not many of them were big parts. But I look forward to more. But I'm a stage actor, really. That's what I really am.
Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise, Bombshell, of course, Star Trek Nemesis with Patrick Stewart and Tom Hardy. Yes, Tom Hardy, exactly. Oh. He was Shinzon, the evil cloned twin of Jean-Luc Picard. Were you actually a Romulan in the exciting world of Star Trek Nemesis, by the way, Rob?
Star Trek Nemesis, I was a Reeman.
A Reeman, yes.
A new race created for that one movie.
Very true.
And I was one of the only talking Reemans. It was for, you know, the usual 5 hours in makeup, a very, very, very beautiful job of makeup. And the director, Stuart Baird, was just magnificent. The movie itself wasn't all that successful, but...
And I thought I was saddened by that. I know there are people who would say it's just a reworking of The Wrath of Khan, with Data actually sort of being the person who sort of pops his clogs and is replaced.
Yeah, I suppose it might be. I never
It was enjoyable. And Noise Within, of course, has its own website. It is indeed California's top classical repertory company. The Doctor's Dilemma, running from October 13th to November the 25th. So a reasonable run as far as that's concerned. Then you've got A Christmas Carol. Then you've got The Grapes of Wrath. You've got so much good stuff that's there. I feel as though, Rob, we should actually get on the plane straight away from an airport in the British Isles and just fly over to you. But fortunately, actually, Chloe will be coming over to Montana, which is not too far away from California, so I'm told.
It's not.
Yeah, just hop in a car.
Exactly.
Hop in a car 17 hours later, you'll be here.
Yeah, so there we are, you see. So yeah, we'll get that whole thing through. Anna, any questions you want to put to Rob?
I'm interested in what role you were in Ugly Betty, but I understand that you probably won't remember that one either.
That's an interesting one. There was a little fantasy sequence in Ugly Betty where I played a Confederate general. I stood up like, you know, Ambrose Burnside or something, and I kind of stood up out of a crowd and said something, and it was a dream sequence that faded away into some mess. And of course, I don't watch television. I have no idea how it was actually used, or if it was actually used. Come to think of it, but I made it, and that's another one of those things. Yeah, that I wish I could be more specific about. I'm so sorry.
I think it was a good answer. It was a good answer, Rob. I know where we're going through there. It's very important, Nicola.
I've not really got a question, but I think your voice sounds amazing.
It's good, isn't it?
I was thinking
yeah.
It's like the reverse of the, oh, you just sound so British. It's wonderful. just talk to us. We love the accent. It's like the reverse of that. Just read the telephone book, please, Rob. That's all we need. Just read the telephone directory.
That's what I do. I record audio books in my studio and a lot of studios around town and around the country. That's kind of my bread and butter because a repertory theater, while it certainly does pay us, isn't enough to support my fabulous lifestyle.
So you see, it's clearly the same in the States as it is in Britain. You do repertory. If you can find repertory, it's you just have to. It's like doing Siren FM, really. Anyway, Hannah.
Rob, have you ever considered writing as well as acting?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's odd you should say. I'm in the middle of a book, and it wasn't at all what I thought. I thought I would write anything. I would write plays. Well, Hannah, writing plays is real, real hard. Okay, it's just real hard. Writing novels, I've always had an idea. I've had one idea, and I started to write it. I call it suspension or tension related. I'm not sure, one or the other. And it's a story of a boy. You see him exactly on 12 birthdays. That's all. 12 chapters, 12 birthdays, starting when he's 14. And it's not autobiographical at all. It's just, you know, things from my life are thrown in. But there's no description, nothing to connect each chapter to another. And you know how sometimes people are very much in your life one year and not the next, or some have arcs that last several years, or some dreadful thing has happened that people don't actually refer openly to. So like 12 different slices of reality without the usual sentimental or narrative connections between them happened to this kid, and he builds, he becomes an engineer, or is on his way to becoming an engineer, to build bridges, which might just be a little much. But anyway, I'm having a ball. I love it. I love writing it.
I think it's
hard to get the time, and you have to sit there, like Thomas Mann said, 3 hours a day, a candle on the desk, you write, and that's it. Well, I don't have 3 hours a day, so I do it when I can.
Rob, you've obviously been taking the advice that I give to many a journalism student, actually get the candles out and write from that point of view. You know, gets you in touch with the spirit. That's the inside of things. It's been absolutely sensational, touching base with your good self, Rob. Truly wonderful to get another flavour of the joys and excitement that you're doing with The Noise Within in Southern California, of course, so one of only a handful in the United States. You may have caught lots of coughing on this end of the whole thing. It's because, obviously, they're not doing their vocal exercises. That's the thing. You know, they need to do their vocal exercises and so on.
You know, I just took the biggest swig of cough syrup you've ever seen before this. Because there's something going around here.
You sick for a few days, and then
you cough for 4 months.
Well, there you go. So we've got two crucial questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting... Oh, there he goes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us? on the show today. Has it been okay for you?
Oh, yes. It's a delight. Are you kidding? I love it.
So the next thing is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
You can call any time. Let me know.
There we are. Rob, another new... It's always nice when another new Californian acting soul comes to join the party. It's brilliant stuff. I think we'd sign him up for our sort of 24-hour marathon as well. Get some jingles and I don't sound. Take care. Speak very soon.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Talented songstress extraordinaire. She always follows her heart. She's quite simply the fabulous Rebecca Poole. Now back on the midweek drive.
You see, Rebecca, you know, we even have your own jingle and ident sorted out. You know,
that's amazing.
Well, you know, we like to feel we get the very best. Nothing comes in there to work through that whole process. So let us see. 48 hours from now, not only will we be saying it is Friday, as opposed to is it Friday yet? It is Friday. But Roy Hodgson's England lads will be following your good self to hopefully sort of get a good result against San Marino when you actually take to the stage at Wembley, or as football fans would say, Wembley, because they always put in an extra syllable. Most peculiar. But this is good stuff, isn't it? Because this is the song will be featured there.
It will, and I'm very excited.
It only deserves, you know, I've always said, Rebecca, since the first moment we featured your good self and you're recommended by Lisa McAllister, this girl should be playing the stadiums, you know? Forget, you know, it's always nice to do the Ronnie Scotts and the jazz clubs, etc., but you also want to have the Shea Stadium, you know, the O2
right.
Arena, you know, the Wembley
I might
Stadium.
I might even get to kick a ball around at the same time.
Steady.
I've been told I'm not allowed to do any streaking, unfortunately.
No. And that's why we love Rebecca Poole. She'll drop her clothes and... No, it's just amazing. Just don't go there. Not in the current climate of the BBC.
No,
please.
No. Not even the 40 uniformed men will
have to do that. So we've seen the video. Ed, you've seen the video. It was one of the first things I actually sort of said. I said, watch this Rebecca Poole video. I even liked it on Facebook. I even went further. Rebecca Poole has the honour of being the first ever tune I've actually purchased, paid for from iTunes.
Oh, you're a good man. You're a good man. And when you were saying...
Well,
this...
that goes to a good cause, Alex. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway,
when you were saying this is the song, I was going, well... What's the song? This is the song. And it's great. I mean, brilliant for that reason
this
alone,
is the song
actually.
We remember. Yeah. Sorry, I would go into the whole scenario. That would be fun. I tell you what, Rebecca, stay with us, because I don't think Katie, Nicola, Chloe or Hannah have actually encountered this one before. Have you guys?
Okay.
No, we haven't.
I haven't.
Yeah. All right. Well, here it comes.
Every day I feel my heart beat out of warning. Ever since the day you had to go away. When I think of our goodbyes, I can't wait to close my eyes. Cause in my dreams I see you coming home. You're not alone. So this is the song to remind us how close that we came to today. Darling, all the nights alone without you.
I think I'll use that as the theme for location reporting. Our hearts will be brave. They will be brave. Sensei, Nicola, what did you make of Rebecca Poole? This is the song.
That was a lovely song. Yes. And as we all agreed, I think it sounds like Christmas.
Sounds like Christmas. Every day of the year. Wonderful. Andrew David, managing editor of Siren FM, marching proudly outside the studio walls there. You know, it's fantastic stuff. Katie?
Just makes me want to snuggle up with a cup of tea.
There you are, you say. Snuggle up with a cup of tea. Exactly. Wonderful stuff. Chloe?
I like your voice. It's very sort of classic sounding.
You are still there, Rebecca, I take it.
Hello! You know, I was just dreaming about tea then.
You know, how often do we actually go for tea and biscuit? We had cheese and onions in the first hour. Best not go there, but still another cover version. Hannah?
Yeah, well, you know I'm a fan, Rebecca, so another great song.
I can't believe that currently on Facebook, 663 people like Rebecca. This is not good enough. We should be at least up to 1,000.
I know.
You should go to your Facebook sites now. You're all there, and you should like Rebecca Poole now. It's all sorted through.
Yes, I will pay you later.
Are you doing that, Chloe?
If
her phone had a battery. You
know? That's a rubbish excuse.
It's just died on me.
He's six drawing. Ed.
Rebecca, that's going to sound fabulous in Wembley, isn't it? It's with the space around it. And is that's on your forthcoming album, is it? Which I see is an exciting, bittersweet mix of 1940s big band and new age romantic pop. Is the rest of the album kind of like the song?
It will be. There will definitely be a strong flavour of that 40s style. With all the harmonies, I absolutely love. But it's got more. It does have a bit of more of a modern taste to it. So it's it's more like the music that I suppose that you've already heard me singing.
Which is quality is right. Incidentally, Rebecca is considering the challenge, as regular listeners will be aware. Jessica Freck is on the case of writing a song for the Mayan calendar, end of the Mayan calendar. So she's sorted through that. Jessica Freck, of course, somebody who Hannah O'Brien once said, I love Jessica Freck. She loves everybody. It's wonderful. Exactly what she does. It's still there. It's on our promo scenario, as you know. Jessica is obviously on that case. But Rebecca, have you sort of given any thought since we spoke at lunchtime to possibly writing a UK equivalent, you know, because we need to keep the British end up, I think, you know. I mean, we might have This Is the Song obviously there, but, you know.
It's an interesting theme. I tend to write things that, sort of come from the heart.
Think of it as Eurovision, but this time the Maya vision, okay?
I tell you what, Alex, for you, I'll do it.
Wow, what can I say? Nicola, last two questions for Rebecca, please. Because Phil Leonis is being kept waiting in the States now. We need to go over to Los Angeles because... Anyway, carry on.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, yes, of course. I always do.
Excellent. And do we look forward to speaking to you in the near future?
Yes, please.
Yeah, turn. I think actually the next day, well, after Wembley Stadium, it has to be Rebecca Poole does the next Bond theme. Adele's done okay, but I think
Alex,
Rebecca Poole. Yes, yes.
Can you please make sure everyone knows the money for that? I want to make sure everyone buys the single and then it goes to Help for Heroes.
Rebecca, you're absolutely right. Would you like to just say it again? This is song is indeed in association with the RAF. It's for Help for Heroes. It's worthwhile getting. Go to iTunes. It's available. Download it. Get it sorted.
Thank you.
Here's Skyfall.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burn.
People think he's the better Bond because you would believe that Daniel Craig could actually kill a man.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson.
actor, horse racing commentator, and voiceover artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Yes! How are you, Phil? Well, there we are.
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
Good. That's so. You've heard the show, hopefully. It's time for you to actually provide the notes. Chloe's back in town. Chloe's back. She's on the American Dream Team next week, so Jodie will be delighted, and so will Jack. You know, they'll have a bit more sense in the show once again. They underuse you, Chloe, I feel. You know,
Underuse you.
And you know the rest of the team. Sir Nicola's with us. You know, Hannah's back. Rookie of the Year. Not crumbling under pressure momentarily. All great stuff there. Katie's celebrating her birthday belatedly, but you know, it's all good stuff. And of course, Ed's with us. Where do you want to go as far as the show's notes are concerned, then, Phil Leonis?
Well, sadly, we don't have enough time for me to go around the room asking everyone how they are so that they can ask me how I am, which was riveting at the top of the show. You know what was really fun was when you and Hannah, for a moment, almost started bickering. That was great. When you shouted at Hannah, whose fault is that?
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether you'd pick up on that, but, you know, it was almost a domestic on her. But, you know,
her absence personally. Really were hurt by that. That's got to be good to know, Hannah, that you're so loved that he will yell at you on air.
I'm not sure if I should be complimented or offended that I'm being yelled at on air.
Anyway, carry on.
Clearly, one way or another, you've been together too long at that point. That's the thing. Katie, happy birthday. Are you feeling any better?
Yeah, I'm all right. Got the flu, so...
What other than the flu, did you get any gifts that will indeed keep on giving? Any gifts you want to share about that you received on your birthday?
Yeah, I got a nice bottle of Jimmy Choo perfume and a pair of Wonder Woman Converse.
You see, I thought he just did shoes. And surely perfume from Jimmy Choo would be like sort of foot insoles. But clearly not. No, it's all right.
And see, this is important for us. This would be one of the reasons to surround yourself with interesting and talented young ladies. Mm.
To tell the difference between...
So that we can learn these things that we know almost nothing about.
Exactly. It's a whole new world, completely. It's a bit like Ugly Betty. Never seen an episode of the show in their entire life, nor Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but apparently very good. Anyway.
I'm jumping all over the place. I need to address, pick up the gauntlet that was thrown when Rebecca Poole said that she usually writes songs that are from the heart. Mm-hmm. I've got no problem with a song called Apocalypse from the Heart. That would be... It's an apocalypse of the heart?
Yeah.
That sounds very much like Total Eclipse of the Heart. You can even set it to that tune.
Exactly.
Who's with me?
I can see where you're, Nicola. You think that's the viable option?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. You should know. Heading off to more exciting location reports. So carry on, Phil. Any other sort of pointers you'd like to provide? Because I mean, Ed, have you managed to access a Chilpack Hollywood scenarios yet?
Do you know what? I was looking at Phil's work this afternoon, and particularly your work on the letter M this week.
Was very exciting, Phil. I found.
Yeah,
the whole show dedicated to the letter M.
Mm.
Marvelous, as in Maya. Mayan.
Well, you know, this was a reference specifically to on Chilpack Hollywood Hour this week. We did end up backing into a theme episode where it was all about the letter M, and it was a reference to public broadcasting in this country where Sesame Street, an educational series, would always be brought to you by a different letter to teach kids the alphabet. And our presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, at the presidential debate last week, said that one of the first things he would do to balance our budget is cut out all funding for educational programming on public broadcasting. So we just thought we would show our solidarity, although that sounds dangerously socialist when I put it like that. But we would show our solidarity with the good folks of public broadcasting who have been bringing great educational programming to people who otherwise would not be able to get it for decades. And so, indeed, Chilpack Hollywood Hour was brought to you by the letter M, and we discussed all range of exciting topics. topics from the Mayan calendar to the Book of Mormon to Monsanto, a agriculture conglomeration that genetically modifies our food. So it was a freewheeling, fun episode that helped us appreciate better 1/26th of the alphabet.
Which is important. And, of course, there's always Count Dracula. 1, 2, 3. So, Count Dracula. Anyway, Katie's still recovering from my Spider-Man comment at the American Studies thing yesterday, which is, never mind. It was a fact of that, a teenage boy shooting at... Anyway, I'll carry on to a different line entirely. Nicola, have you got any questions you want to put to young Phil over there, such as, did you appreciate Michelle Monroe's piece? He hasn't commented on Kenny Halliday, Jessica Ridley, or Nick Hancock, or Rob Dean. Very quiet about Rob Dean. I mean, I thought we were trying to sort of suggest he might go and see Rob Dean in performance, so to speak.
Yeah, have you come across Rob Dean at all, or...?
I was listening to the show with one Lily Holloman, and she was immediately able to tell me who he was.
Good.
Other than being able to explain to you all the reasons why Star Trek Nemesis was such a failure, mm-hmm. I don't really have a lot of Rob Dean stories to tell you at this point. But of course, I have operatives out gathering them as we speak.
Oh. You see, that's why we call Leonis on the case. A bit like Tuck's on the topic, actually.
I'm going to ask one more question. What do you have planned, or what are you going to contribute to the Mayan 24-hour
nice question,
stint
Nicola.
That we have?
What's he going to contribute?
I'm interested.
We know what we're going to do this end. What's he going to do over there?
No, are you going to come and join us over here? Or?
Well, the option, I'm still trying to see if Ed... Have you got a passport, Ed?
Do you know what? I've lost it. I do have one. It could be anywhere. There's somebody travelling the world pretending to be Ed Wellman, I think.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
You know what? At the end of the Mayan calendar, on the last day on Earth, I have a feeling, Ed, that all the transportation authorities might be a little lax in their enforcement of the rules. So I would go ahead and try without the passport to come on over to Los Angeles to join us. We're doing a 27-hour marathon over here.
We'll go 28, damn it.
We're starting when it becomes December 21st in Peru, the home of the ancient Mayan empire, and then we will carry it all the way through to 1 a.m. On December 22nd, just to make sure that we are all still here. Though I guess, therefore, the good news is if we aren't all still here, if the end of the world does come, then we're only going to be doing 26 hours. So we may get 1 hour off. One of the things, what we know we're doing for 3 hours is completely handing over our feed to, I guess it's the other way around. For 3 hours, we're going to just piggyback the Siren FM feed of your marathon so that we can get a little bit of a nap in.
We're supporting our friends in the colonies. We're standing shoulder to shoulder, and hopefully by the end of the whole thing they'll have realised that the whole fenanigans of George III and 1776 was a big mistake. Gives us 3 hours to win them back. Can we do it? Yes, we can, as Bob the Builder once said. Sorry, I was going to get patriotic there.
You'd have to explain to listeners here in the States, you'd have to explain who
Bob the Builder was.
King George was. You would have to explain literally everything to which you just referred, because, we're not even going to have any educational programming on public broadcasting.
Exactly. Why would they?
What the heck?
Benjamin Franklin.
You know what? We should get started on that educational program, and I think get started on introducing the joys of some of Alex Lovechuk's unique turns of phrase and that whole process and scenario. Earlier than the Mayan calendar, I think we need to very soon have Alex Lovechuk be a guest on a Chilpak Hollywood Hour, where we turn the tables on the man.
I think that sounds quite good.
And
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how I leave their microphones up at the most inopportune times, but never mind.
If only I can figure out what kind of Rasta sounding reggae kind of jingle Katie can sing about Alex Lefkowitz in time for the show, then we'll be ready to go.
She is Birmingham's gift to the galaxy. Always there at the top of the tree. He's KTG. 1, 2, 3.
You know what's funny, Alex? You know what's funny? I was going to sign off today when I'm asked those two questions, which happened, which can't come up soon enough for any of us. I can't believe it. I was going to respond to the "Did I have an interesting telephonic link?" with by saying, "I'm sorry, could you repeat that? The telephone was breaking up." because that's clearly the answer.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting is that the telephone really has been breaking up a little bit. So I think there's been something going on with all the other
It's me. It's because I'm back.
I just called all the guest contestants just now. See, you've gotten this whole game show, competitive game show thing in my mind.
I like to feel that the midweek drive is the quiz of the week from somewhere in the
East
Midlands.
I think we should have a vote on the best guest at the end of the show.
Oh, do you really?
I normally
That's
actually...
why I showed up. That's why I went to Lincoln, so that at least I could be voted best dressed guest.
Yes, I normally have in the sort of after-show chat when we go and have a tea or a coffee. So if they're not scooting off and all, we normally sort of score the guests out of 10, really. Sort of, but it's interesting. It's not really competitive, although it might be.
Alex, I'm worried that Michelle Monroe is a cruise addict.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is an addiction to cruises, but
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't know. Too much of anything, even love, is not necessarily a good thing. So name the Star Trek episode I just quoted, Alex.
Trouble with Tribbles, sir.
Very nice. Well played, sir.
Did you see, you know, oof, straight in there and rocking and rolling. That's the important point. Ilana Rain is joining us, I believe, next week. Hooray! We've also got...
Our co-host of the Chilpack Hollywood Marathon.
Caroline Rich will be with us back as well. We've already had confirmation that for our special Halloween edition of the Midweek Drive, yes, the Native American voices of Randy Reinholtz and indeed Jean Bruce Scott will be back with us. And I do hope we'll be able to feature some Combat Radio Eaton Denmeyer October Halloween stuff as well. A little treat.
Oh, absolutely. I need to work that introduction. I have been busy doing my 3 hours of writing every day.
By candlelight? With a candle?
Well, I did all night long, yeah, because my 3 hours a day have to be all bunched together into about 36 hours. Or else nothing will get done. So I'm rewriting a script that I will be directing in December. So that's what I've been doing. But I will indeed make the introductions so that the fantastic Ethan Dettmeyer can be on Siren FM's Midweek Drive talking about all manners of Ethan.
And, of course, if Natalie Tuck is listening, although, unlike Katie Grimerson, no indication that she sent a Facebook message at all, really. She may not be. She may be back in Leeds doing this stuff, and so I'm not interested or not on the show. I just can't be bothered, basically. So we won't sing Eleanor Rigby for her. But that's a different line entirely. Phil, would you like to go around the team and actually sort of throw those last two questions at them in terms of how they found the show? Because everybody's done at least one of the shows before, so they kind of know what's happening. They all need some cough syrup, clearly, to actually sort the thing through. So actually, it's been mostly Katie and Chloe have actually taken on board the line that's normally actually hosted by Tasha Turney. We can look forward to Tasha Turney's coughs tomorrow morning. Are you in tomorrow morning, Hannah?
No, I don't think I will, because I'm actually going to be working on a news story.
There you are.
I can't reveal on air.
No, of course not, exactly. Anyway, Phil, quickly, would you like to go around the assembled team?
Oh, Alex, come on. We all know that we enjoyed it. We all know we will return. Don't tease us anymore. What we're really waiting for is that inspirational quote that you put
up. There you are. It's Robert F. Kennedy.
So that we can get to the business of arguing with you about it.
Exactly. Robert F. Kennedy, you're happiest while you're making the greatest contribution. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, to Kenny Halliday, to Jessica Ridley, Michelle Monroe, Nick Hancock, Rob Dean, Rebecca Poole, and your good self, Phil Learness. And thank you, dear listener, for actually being with us from that point of view. Thanks in the studio to Nicola Clancy, Katie Grimerson, Chloe... I was going to say Chloe Bates for a moment there, but no, of course, it's not Chloe Bates at all. It's Chloe, whose surname we've sort of temporarily sort of eluded us, etc. Chloe Baker. Baker, not Bates.
I wasn't going to tell you what she struggled.
Yeah, quite rightly so, exactly. And Chloe's back, of course, with the American Dream Team. If you're into Americana, don't forget, coming up in half an hour from now, it is the fabulous Lincoln Bomber Girls, Abomination, and they have lots of stateside links and lots of exciting things with respect to... bomber derbies and such like stuff. Thanks to Ed Wellman as well. Ed, enjoyed the show.
Very much. Ta-ta.
So, TTFN, as somebody will might say. Nicola, are you still awake?
Yes, I am.
Good. I was going to squeeze in some Oasis of Wonderwall for Casey's second birthday treat. Sadly, time has prevented us from doing so.
It's
the
okay.
News jingle. You got the first one. This is important thing. So great stuff as far as that's concerned. Phil, keep on keeping on. Back in the morning for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, in which we'll be finding out more about the Terriers. We'll be finding out what our very own Richard Fitzwilliams has been making of the whole Bond at 50 scenario. We'll be finding out a bit about spiritual marketing with respect to Sheila Jones. Gemma Joy will be updating us on all, just so many good things. And William Sitwell will be talking us why, not only after last week when he wants to actually ban dinner parties, this week he wants to ban forks. There is a word you can actually use with fork to say end of the show now. I'm not going to say it. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye. 107.3